Morning. We're going to continue our study through Ephesians, and the focus passages this morning will be Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 to 24. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 to 24, and I will say a quick prayer over this message. Father, we're so grateful to be in your presence again. We thank you, Lord, too, for the wonderful music, Father God, and we do pray that you will impart these ancient words, Father God, which are true, O Lord, that they will actually change us all, Father God, renewing us, transforming us, conforming us into the image of Jesus Christ, O Lord. We just pray to you, O Lord, that you will just bless this assembly. It's in his holy name we pray. Amen. So Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 to 24. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Amen. So earlier in the letter to the Ephesians, Paul spoke to us about our spiritual blessings. But now he's going to speak to us about our spiritual walk. And he begins with a commandment. If we go back to chapter 4, verse 22, it says that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self. So it begins with a commandment from Paul. This is a thou shalt. And again, understand that Paul is speaking through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So when we see this opening verse, we get a commandment from Paul, an exhortation. The exhortation is this: take off your old self. Take it off, remove it. Why? He says immediately, because it's corrupted. It's corrupted and it's only growing worse. It's not going to get better. This old self, the old nature, the old way of life, it's only going to become worse day after day after day. So put it aside. Lay it aside. And the whole thing too is that this old self, it's not consistent with the new self. They don't correspond. They don't synchronize. They're not in harmony. One's old. When you think about old, you think about the old original. As an original sin, that old self is filled with original sin. The new self is made in the image of Christ. So the two can't correspond. Paul talks about taking something off and putting something on. You can't do both at the same time. Something needs to come off in order for something to come on. If you're going to change clothes, that means you've got to take something off. And the whole point is that Paul says, take off the old self. It doesn't belong in you any longer. So you can't have both the old and the new on simultaneously. So if we look at the old life, and we started about that in verses 17, 18, 19. When you look at that old life, that old nature, that former way of life, you immediately understand this, that those are under the curse of the law. All that are in Adam are under the curse. But those who have put on the new life, the new self, those are under grace. So we have one group that's under the curse. You have another group that's under God's grace. So you can't have both on at the same time. You either want the curse or you want the grace, but you can't have them both on. So Paul says, take off the old, because the old belongs to the curse and the new belongs to grace by God. So he says, put on the new. Put on the new. And we get this from Ephesians 2. We know this. When Paul is talking to the Ephesians, he's not talking about prayer here. He's just saying, pray about this. Paul already knows you don't have to pray about this. You already know that the old needs to come off. You don't need to engage with God in communion. You know to take it off. Be rid of it. Cast it away. No sense discussing it with anyone. You know that this is not the way of life. This is not how you should be living at this point of your life. So put it aside. And we know this too, that God will enable, that God will empower. He helps us to do this. We don't do this on our own. It's like a little child, 3, 4, 5 years old. A child doesn't know how to dress himself or herself. He relies on mom and dad to dress him up. Well, us, even as adults, and putting on Jesus Christ, even we need help. So we depend on the Holy Spirit to help us to do just that. So Paul understands that. You do your part, God will do his, but you have to cooperate in this operation. In this transaction, you have to do your part. Paul says, put it off. Put it off. Don't pray about it, just do it. So we know that this condition about putting off and putting on, this goes on for the rest of our lives. It's not a thing we do once and that's it. No. No, Paul says, this is you for the rest of your life, struggling with this, warring with the old self, because the old self doesn't want to come off. So just understand that this is the way it's going to be with you for the rest of your Christian life. The warfare will continue. And we get this when we studied Galatians. Can you go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 17? It says, for the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want to do. Putting off the old self doesn't want to do that. It will resist. It will refuse. It will fight back. But Paul says, you've got to lay him aside. You've got to be determined to do this. To lay him aside. To put on Christ. The Spirit will enable you, will empower you to do just that. But you have to try. You can't just not try. You have to do it. If you want to change, you have to be committed to change. Changing your clothes. In this case, we're talking about spiritually taking off the old, putting on the new. So as we continue in our study of Ephesians here, we're removed from all the heavenly blessings, because we were told about our heavenly blessings. The heavenly blessings in Christ. Chapters 1, 2, and 3. We learned about all those heavenly blessings. But now Paul's talking about our earthly walk. We've gone from heaven back to earth, and here on earth we have an earthly walk. And that earthly walk must correspond to those heavenly blessings, to those doctrines. Doctrines we learned about. So we go from the doctrine down to earth to the doing of the doctrine. Yes, we learn doctrine, but Paul says, now come back down to earth and do that. Do the doctrine. Live it out. Work it out. That's what we're required to do. That's what this earthly behavior, this earthly walk is all about. About taking those doctrines and now living them out. There's no point in living them out if you know nothing about them. So Paul says, you should know about them already. Now that you do, you should be able to walk. Walk what you were taught. And we learned last week that we heard Christ. Remember, we listened to Christ, we heard Christ, we were taught in Christ. We did all those things. Paul says, you should know now. You are different. You are different than the old. You are the new. So from doctrine to the doing of doctrine. So we learned how God sees us. Now we will learn how the world sees us. So two different things. God sees us, but so does the world. How does the world view us? The world can't view us as being just like them. The world should look at a Christian and see, there right there is a different kind of person. They should see us the way God intends us to be seen here on earth, as his chosen people, a people of his own possession. So there should be some congruity here. There shouldn't be any incongruity. We should be synchronized, in harmony, corresponding. There should be something there. We shouldn't be different. We shouldn't be like the rest of the world. We should be totally different to the rest of the world. So if we go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, it says this, that in reference to your former manner of life, you may lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in according with the lust of deceit. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self. Laying aside the old self. Putting aside the old self. When you look at those words, we should understand something already, okay? Those words right there, they carry a positional truth and they carry a practical truth. We need to understand that. Those words right there. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self. Well, there's a positional truth there. And there is a practical truth. We need to understand the difference. Positionally, in Christ, the old self has already been crucified. Paul told us that. The old self is dead. It was buried. It died on the cross. That is our position in Christ. It's a done deal. It's happened. But Paul is not talking about that. He's talking about the practical truth that it hasn't happened yet. No, we're still here on earth. But we need to understand the positional truth, because the positional truth is our legal standing in Christ. And we get that in some verses in the Bible. For instance, can you go to Romans chapter 6, verse 6? It says here, for we know, in other words, we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. So here we see that positional truth. It's been done. It's a done deal. Your old self was crucified. It died on the cross. That is the positional truth. Our legal standing, our legal condition is that right there. When God sees us, he sees that right there. It's a done deal. We can also go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. And here it says too, for you died. Not you're going to die. Paul says, you died. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Again, a positional truth. It's happened. And then we go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. It says, those who belong to Christ, Jesus, have crucified the sinful nature with his passions and desires. Again, we should understand that this is a positional truth, a legal condition that has already happened. It's a done deal. We shouldn't think it hasn't. We should understand this has already happened in the heavenlies. In Christ, it's done. It's done. So our position in Christ is fixed forever. Okay? It's a legal condition. We have been justified, and that legal stance will never, ever be undone. That's the way God sees us. It's a done deal, and we move on. We should not walk around thinking, well, you know what? I'm such a sinner that when God sees me, he views nothing but sin. No. We should understand. Remember, Paul says, know these doctrines. And not only know these doctrines, because you know these doctrines, walk. Walk your life realizing these doctrines, that in Christ, God sees you as being righteous and holy and without blame and perfect in every way. That is your legal standing. But when we look at these verses, 22 and 23 and 24, Paul is not talking about our legal standing. He already knows that. And he expects that the Ephesians already know that too. And we too here, as we gather together, we should understand that too. That we have a legal position in Christ. And in that legal position, the old flesh, the old man, the old way of life has passed on. It's moved on. But here again, Paul says, he's talking about the practical truth. Our moral condition. That's the question in this whole verse, okay? So we have been justified, we know that, but we know this too, that we are being sanctified. This has everything to do with our sanctification. We still need to do what? Because God sees us as holy and blameless and righteous and all that in Christ. But here, as we're being sanctified, we need to grow in holiness and in goodness and in righteousness and in all these things. In heaven, we're there. Here, we're not there yet. We're not there yet. It's like the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has come, but it has not come. Our holiness has come, but here, it has not come. We still need to be sanctified. So that's the whole point that Paul is talking about here. Our sanctification, our moral condition, the practical truth. There's a positional truth. We're good in God's eyes. And there's a practical truth. We're not good. We need to work it out. We need to grow in grace. We need to grow in holiness, in righteousness, in all these things. We need to grow. So it's our moral condition that needs to be in harmony with what? With our legal condition. If our legal condition says you're holy, then as we walk in Christ, that walk should correspond. They should be the same. We should be taking those doctrines and putting them into practice here on earth. If God says this about us, then we should take that truth, those theologies, those doctrines, and then apply them into our lives here so that there's some corresponding. They're synchronized. They're in harmony. That's what Paul tells us back in chapter 4, verse 1. Remember, he said that our earthly walk must be worthy of heaven's high calling. How we walk should correspond to the calling. They must. Otherwise, we're sending a wrong signal to who? To those who are in Adam. If the people who are still in Adam are still under the curse, they look at us and they say, well, he's supposed to be a Christian, but as far as I'm concerned, he kind of looks like us. No different. Well, that's not good. That is not good. We ought to be different. And that is what sanctification is all about. God setting us apart so that we won't be like everybody else. We can't be light or rather darkness in darkness. No, we're going to be in darkness. We better be light. If we're going to be in darkness, we better be salted, giving them flavor, doing something, being different so that they recognize these people, these Christians, oh, they're not like us. They're vastly different. The Jews in the Old Testament, oh, they were vastly different. Now us here in the church age, we need to be different too. We need to be different to the rest of the world. And Paul says, that's why you have to put off the old self. Take it off, lay it aside. Let's move on and be done with it. So even though we die with Christ positionally, we must continue to make choices and decisions that are pleasing to God. We have to do that. We can't just do as we please. No, we have to do as God pleases. So our choices, our decisions as we walk our Christian lives need to please God. They need to be in harmony with everything we've learned, everything we have been taught. So and what is it that we were taught? The truth that we find in Jesus. We learn that. So our walk should correspond with the truth of Christ that we learn through the Bible. That we learn through the Bible. So every day we practice what's called death to self. Death to self. Death to the old self. That's what we practice every single day. Is it something new? No, because Jesus kind of said the same thing when he said every single day you should deny yourself and pick up your cross. So yes, in a sense, Paul's saying you need to practice every single day dying to the old way. Death to self. When Christ, remember when Christ died on the cross, he was given no quarters. No one helped him out. No, he was left there to die. It's the same thing with the self, with the old self. You give the old self no quarters. You don't discuss things with the old. It's like discussing things with the devil. You have a discussion with the devil, the devil's going to win. You have a discussion with the old self will drag you down to his level, and before you know it, you'll be sinning again. Paul says, don't discuss it. Don't pray about it. Just be rid of it. Get rid of it. You know already to do that. No discussions are necessary. No. So we practice death to self. Can we do that? Yes, we can do that. Why? Because we believe in God's truth. We know the doctrine that God sent his Holy Spirit, and his Holy Spirit has sealed us, has set us apart, and he dwells in us. Paul prayed, the Holy Spirit will strengthen you with his power. He will enable us. He will empower us to do just that. Put the old self aside, to mortify the old self. We rely on him and we depend on him. On our own sheer effort? No. But working with him, we can. We must rely on the Holy Spirit. Once we do that, we can overcome the flesh. So when you read these verses, we know this. This we should all know, that we have no excuse for sloppy Christianity. No. We can't be sloppy Christians. No. There's plenty of those, but it should not be us. We should know better. We should know better. We shouldn't be living mediocre, half-hearted Christian lives. Who wants to do that? No. Paul says, follow my example. Live the way I live. Well, Paul, how did you live, Paul? Well, Paul, we learned this. Can you go to Philippians chapter 1, verse 21? Where it says, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, I talked about this before because, in a sense, Paul is saying, I don't know about you. I don't know about you Philippians that are out there, but I know this, my fellow Philippian brothers and sisters, that to me, I will live for Christ. I will live for Christ, and if necessary, I will die for him. But the point is, I am all in for Christ. I am 100% there for Christ. My whole life is about Christ. Everything. That right there, that's living Christianity on the highest plane possible. Paul is not giving it a half-hearted attempt here. No, Paul is saying, I'm going to live the Christian life on the highest plane possible. Paul says, there, Philippians, that is where you will find me, up here, not down here, but as high as I can possibly go. And Paul says, I am determined to do this. I am committed. Can you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2? And here Paul again, now to the Corinthians. He said, I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I resolved. I am determined. I am committed. I will do one thing only while I'm here, and that's to know Jesus Christ and him crucified. To know him. Paul says, that is my desire. That is my commitment, my resolution, to know him. To know him. So we need this determination, because if we're going to put aside the old self, if we're truly going to do that, we're going to put aside the former way of life. We need to kind of do this. We need to resolve to do it. We need to be determined to do it. We need to have the heart and the mindset to want to do it. Otherwise, we're not. We're not going to do it. But Paul says, I'm determined. How about you? Because Paul said, I don't know about you. I really don't. But to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. See, that's a question for each one of us. Are we that determined in our relationship with Christ? Because first century Christians, second century, those, they were absolutely committed. But as we move on through the generation after generation after generation, that commitment, that desire, it kind of begins to wane. But it doesn't have to wane. The same Spirit who was in Paul and who just filled Paul with passion and with commitment and with desire, with resolution, it's the same Holy Spirit that abides in us. But see, Paul made that choice. So we need to make that choice. Paul says, you don't have to pray about that. You know that already. We should know that already. Every single day, determined to do just that. So every day, we must practice death to self. Should we? Absolutely. Paul gave us the answer. Why should we practice death to self? Because it says right there in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, it says, because the old self is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. Can you go back, please, to Ephesians 4, verse 22? The last part there. The old self is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. That's why Paul says, put him off. The old self is not going to get better. Take him off. Be rid of him. So even if you look at that, we're not going to prove the old self. Doesn't matter how much we try, you can't do nothing about the old self. The old self has a bad nature, a sinful nature, a fallen nature. You can't do nothing about that. If you try reading all the number one self-improvement books in the world, you take them all, you read them all, you say, if I read all these books, I will definitely improve the old self. No, you can't improve the old self. Paul said, it's only going to grow worse. It's going to grow worse. Nothing you can do about it. And you know what? God will do nothing about the old self either. When he justified you, he justified the new self, not the old self. He said the old self is cursed. The old self died on the cross positionally, remember? It died on a cross. God will do nothing with the old self. And because God will do nothing with the old self, you can't either. There's nothing you can do about the old self. Now we know this about God. God is sanctifying the new self. We know that God is not going to sanctify the old self. The old self is going to die. It's going to pass away just like the world. It's going to pass away, but the new self, the new life in Christ, will never pass away. It will remain forever. So that is what God will sanctify. So God will do nothing about the old self. So Paul says, you have no business, none, being back in the old. That old is just going to die. And before it dies, it's only going to get worse and worse and worse. That's it. Can you go to, I believe it's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, I think. I plan to go there. Okay, we'll read verses 1 through 5. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves. Now, when you read this, you kind of know, okay, that's kind of happening already. And this is the thing. When I read this, understand this too, that this was happening in Old Testament times. This was happening in New Testament times. This is happening now. This is just nature. But this kind of conduct should not be in the church. It should not be in the church. People would be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. Have nothing to do with them. Okay, this is the old self. This is the old way of life. In a sense, Paul's saying, have nothing to do with the old, because this is the old. This wasn't some other people out there. No. Paul says, this was kind of you. Paul says, have nothing to do with what you were before, with your old way of life. Outside, maybe this is how people are. But inside, in the church should not be like this. No. So you look at this, and I look at these kind of scripture verses, and I remember, this is what I was. Not they were like that, and not me. I was never like that. No. I always remember when I look at verses like this, such a man was I. And because when I look at verses like this, it reminds me. Why? So that I won't boast. So that I won't look at people out there and say, well, you know what? I was never like that. You know, God saved me because I was kind of different. No. God saved me when I was like that. Why? Don't boast. That's what Paul says. We were saved by grace so that you won't boast that you weren't that. Oh, yeah, you were that. So don't boast. But now leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. That's not you anymore. No, remember, positionally in Christ, all this right here, it died. It died on the cross. Very much so. Practically, we're working it out. We're working it out of our lives. We're being sanctified. We're being sanctified. And this is what God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. He says, if anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple. You, me, are that temple, sacred and holy. Would we want to take that back into the old life? Well, Paul, no. No, no. We won't go back there and destroy what God has regenerated. No. What he has birthed? No, the new birth? No, we don't do that. The last thing we want to do is take what God made holy and take it back into the old way of life, back under the curse. No. That's why he said that this is very important, that we understand this teaching, to put off the old man, put him off. So the old self will only go from bad to worse, and that's it, because it will always want to resist God and rebel against God. Always. That is its nature. Wants nothing to do with God. So no, going back to the old, don't think you're going to improve anything there. No. If you want to improve, all the improvement is done in Christ. All the learning, all the hearing, all the teaching, all the sanctifying by truth is done in Christ, in the old life. That's where we belong, in Christ, never out of Christ. So we go now to Ephesians, because it says that we should lay aside the old self. Lay aside the old self. But then the question is, how? How exactly do we lay aside the old self? Because Paul gives us the answer. He gives us the answer in Ephesians 4, verse 23. In the very next verse, he says this. To be made new in the attitude of your minds, by the renewing of your minds. If you're going to put off the old self, you've got to begin with the mind. By transforming the mind, by renewing the mind, by changing the mind. It begins up here, because for all our lives, the old self was corrupted. Where it was corrupted in the mind. It was corrupted in the heart. So Paul says the change, the renewal needs to take place in the inner man, in the inner woman, in our inmost being. All that needs to change. It needs to completely change. That's where the renewing begins. That's where the Holy Spirit begins to do the work, in the new inner man and the new inner woman. Not in the old, but in the new. In the new. So Paul says, renewed in the spirit of your mind, in the sphere, in the element, in the place of your mind. That is where the renewal takes place. So day by day, by faith, we appropriate what God has given us. What God has given us. We take it all in. We surrender to God. That's what we do. We surrender to God. What is it to surrender? Because as I was reading this, I was thinking, okay, where can I get an example of surrendering? Because when you go to the Bible, it gives you an example of what it is to surrender. Can you go to 1 Samuel? 1 Samuel chapter 11, verse 10. Okay, this verse right here kind of gives you an example of what it means to surrender. Let me give you the context real fast. Well, let me read it first. They said to the Ammonites, this is the people of Jabesh, who, of course, Israel. They said to the Ammonites, tomorrow we will surrender to you, and you can do to us whatever seems good to you. Okay? So the men of Jabesh, they're going to surrender to the Ammonites, and surrender means just that. We will surrender to you, and when we surrender, we will come out, we will be right in the open, and you can do to us as you please. That is what it means to surrender. Now, if you read the whole narrative in the context, the men of Jabesh, they weren't really going to surrender. Saul was already coming to their defense. Saul already had a plan to annihilate the Ammonites, and he did. When Saul heard what the Ammonites were doing to the men of Jabesh, they were besieging the city. Saul was livid. And he was livid. Why? Because the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily. And he was angry. So not only was Saul angry, but the Spirit of the Lord that came upon him was angry. And Paul says, and Saul was absolutely livid that the Ammonites would do that to the men of the women of the city of Jabesh. No. As a matter of fact, Saul, this was in the beginnings of Saul, when he was humble, when he was a good king. And Saul took oxen, and he cut up the oxen, and he sent them throughout the land of Israel. And he told the land of Israel, the people of Israel, if none of you come out and help us, then I'm going to do to you what I did to these oxen. Or rather, I'm going to do to your oxen what I did to these oxen. I'm going to go to your places, and I'm going to annihilate your oxen too. So the people realized, okay, Saul's not, he's not, I think he's serious. I think he's not messing around. I think we better go help Saul and help the city of Jabesh. And sure enough, it says that the next time, the whole people assembled with Saul as one. So Paul had a plan, and that was just me digressing. But the whole point is this. When you surrender, it's you stepping out in the open and saying, you can do to me as you please. Because that's what it is to surrender to Christ, to come out in the open and say, Lord, I surrender to you. I yield to you. And now you can do to me as you please, Lord. As you please. See, when we do that, when we surrender to the Lord, just like that, and we just tell him, do to me as you please, Lord, that right there, that is a decisive blow to the flesh. That is you taking the flesh out there and you telling the Lord, Lord, you can do to me as you please, including the flesh here. Annihilate the flesh, Lord. Help me to annihilate the flesh. Because that right there, you surrendering is just that. God, have your way with me. And the flesh, oh, can't do nothing about that because the flesh is going to get it because you surrendered to the Lord. But see, sometimes we have a difficulty even going to studies when we're at home. We go through Monday through Friday, and sometimes we have a difficulty taking the word in on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. Why? Because we don't want to surrender. You know what? I think I'm going to go study the Bible. I'm really going to hit it hard, but you know, there's a drama on TV that I really, really want to watch. So I'm going to watch the dramas. Because the point is, the old flesh, the old self, doesn't want to yield, doesn't want to surrender. It says, yeah, we don't want to surrender to the Lord. We don't want the Lord to do as he pleases. Let's go do something else. And off you go with the flesh. Paul says, no. That's not yielding to the Spirit. That's not surrendering to the Spirit. That's yielding to the flesh. That's you surrendering to the old former way of life. So Paul says, you can't do that. You need the scriptures. You need the truth. You need the power of God. You're not helping the Spirit any if you're not putting none of this into your life. Renewing the mind, renewing the heart, renewing the whole person. You have to yield. That's what Paul says, I resolved. I determined. It was my ambition. This was my drive. Because he wanted to do that. But that's the whole thing. The self, the old self, the old nature. No. He's not going to cooperate. Not at all. We're in a war. We're in a struggle. And this struggle is going to go on. Until we're with the Lord. Or until the Lord comes. But it's going to go on. And we need to understand that. Recognize that. Be renewed in your inmost being. It's part of the life of sanctification. It's all part of the process of sanctification. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, we're told. Yes, work it out. Be determined to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Then in Galatians, we're told, live by the Spirit and walk by the Spirit. Be determined to live your day by the Spirit and walking by the Spirit. And then we're told in Philippians, and put off the old self and put on the new. Be determined to do that. You've got work to do. And then it says, you were dead, but now you are alive. Because you were dead, and now you're alive. Well, then do the work of the living. Do the work of the new self. Do the work of God. Because ultimately, that's why we were saved. To do what? To do good works. Do good works. You were dead, but now you're alive. How can we do that? Because as we do that, we know this. Because can you go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 13? We always remember this. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good pleasure. Yes, I do my part. I cooperate with the Holy Spirit. As I cooperate with the Holy Spirit, as I yield to Him, as I surrender to Him, this is what takes place too. God is working in me. He works in you to will and to act according to His good pleasure. That's what He does. But see, there is a cooperation that takes place in here. You have to do your part, and God will do His part. You've already been saved. It doesn't mean you're not going to be saved. I mean, God will work in your life. I mean, if we continue on living our lives as Christians in the old, well, there will be some chastening, no doubt. There will be some discipline. I don't want that in my life. No, I've gone through that before. It was not good. Not good. So I know that. I know how that feels, and I know it lasts a long, long time. I don't want it again. I've experienced it. It's bad. So me, yes, I want to remember that I can yield, I can resist, and I can surrender to the Spirit. And I know if I do that, and I'm committed, and I'm determined that God, He will work in me. He will work in me because it is His will. It is His will to work for His good pleasure, working in me, working in you. That's what it's all about. So now, as God works in us, we go out there and we do what? We do the teaching of the doctrine. Because the only way we learn the doctrines is when our mind, our hearts, our inmost being, the inner man, the inner woman, is in the Scriptures. We're in the Scriptures, and because we're getting all these theologies, all these truths, all these principles, all these doctrines, now we can go out there and we can do them. Do the teaching. Do the teaching of the Bible. That's what it's all about. So, who does the renewing? The Holy Spirit. And Titus told us that. Can you go to Titus chapter 3, verse 5? He says, He saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done. Again, we did nothing righteous. Remember all those things Paul talked about in Timothy, all those bad things? Yeah, that's kind of us. But Paul says, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. So this renewal is done by the Holy Spirit. We should understand that. But you need to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. So here's the thing, okay? We can't miss this. He does the renewal. We know that. We believe that. The Holy Spirit is going to do the renewal. However, we are responsible. We are responsible to use the means of His renewal. What is the means of His renewal? It's this. It is the Word. So if our minds and our hearts, our inner man, our inner woman, of all our affections, if they're not here, are we cooperating with Him? Are we yielding to Him? No. Are we determined? Because if we're not doing this every single day, at least taking some of this, because God said you need manna. Every day, Israel needed manna. And every day in the morning, God gave a manna. Every day, you need spiritual manna. You need to get it. And to get it, you need to get out. You need to get up. You need to arise. And you need to be determined to go get Him. This is a means that the Holy Spirit will use to renew us. But if we're not getting up because we're just too lazy, well, there's something wrong. Remember, that's just the old self. This is the means right here of renewing. We need to be committed to taking some of this in every single day. That's how we're renewed. And when we get renewed, that's how we're able to put aside the old self, the former way of living. But if we're not doing any of this, well, then we're not going to be winning this victory. This war. The battle is going to be won day by day by day by the old self, by the flesh, by the fallen nature. So that's not what we want. That's not what we need. So Paul means that our entire way of thinking, our whole mindset, everything about us needs to have a radical change, a complete change, to be totally renewed by God's Spirit. And it all begins by washing ourselves right here. You want to wash yourself, you do it right here. Anytime you need anything, this is where you come. By the washing of regeneration. We've been regenerated by the Holy Spirit. Now we need to be renewed by the Holy Spirit. In the mind. In the mind. Can you go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 10? It says here, and you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of his creator, okay? You put on the new self, we know this. We have a new self, we're born again, we have been regenerated, we have a new nature, a new heart, a new mind, we have it all. This is new, this is a new. When you look at these verses, understand this. Just as God created the first man, Adam, this new nature was created in the very same way. It is new. New. It is not the old being revamped, reconditioned. No, this is a new creation, very much just like God created Adam. In the likeness and in the image. So the new self, the new life, what we are in Christ, is just like God created Adam in the beginning. In the image and in the likeness of God. That is what he created. Not something different. That is specifically what we need to know. That the new life, the new self, very much created in the image and in the likeness of God. New, totally new to be just like him. Can you go to Ephesians? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. Because it's very similar to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. Here it says, to put on the new self. Now, in the other verse, it said, you already put them on. It's a done deal. But here in Ephesians, Paul says, now put them on. Put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So God is absolutely perfect. He's holy. He's good. He's righteous. And he said, this is exactly what the new self is. It is a person, man, or woman created in the image of God yet again. Brand new. What is the easiest way to define a Christian? The easiest way to define a Christian is this. It is a man or a woman in Christ. That is it. Someone ever asked, what's a Christian? It's a man or a woman in Christ. They're nowhere else but in Christ. Every day they're in Christ. And for the rest of their lives, they're in Christ. And never, ever again will they be outside of Christ. It's just a man or woman in Christ. And that is happening to them. They put on the new self, created to be like God, and true righteousness and holiness. And that is a wonderful thing, a glorious thing. So we take off the old self, and we put on a person. And this person is Jesus Christ. Can you go to Romans chapter 13, verse 14? Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Okay? Those are the desires of the old self, because the old self has a lot of desires. As a matter of fact, you know, when you go to the Bible and you read the Bible, and for instance, we read, can you go to back to Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, please? Or rather 16, I'm sorry, 16. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Desires. Here's the whole point. The old self is filled with desires. You are going to have bad desires. Paul is not saying that you're not. We should understand that we have bad desires. We have bad tendencies. We have lustings. All that stuff exists. Why? Because the old self still lingering. And because the old self is still lingering, Paul says, you have that. Don't think you don't. We do. We have bad desires, and the old self wants to gratify those desires. But Paul says, the only way you won't is if you live by the Spirit. You live by the Spirit, and you won't gratify the old self. But if you're not living by the Spirit, and you're not cooperating by the Spirit, and you're yet yielding and surrendering to him, well, that's what you're going to do. You're going to gratify those sinful desires. That's exactly what you're going to do. So Paul says, don't think you don't have them. You have them. But you can't satisfy them. You can't be gratified by them. You need to lay aside the old self and walk by the Spirit. So that's the whole point of putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus our Savior, always said no to sin. He never gratified his flesh. Always no. And that is exactly what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. He enables us, he empowers us to look at sin now that we are in Christ and say no. Because Jesus said no. So we need to follow the example of Christ our Savior. We learned him. We're in him. We were taught by him. We learned all these things. We know that he never sinned. Well, Paul says, you too should say no to sin because your Redeemer, your Savior, who died on the cross with you, he said no. So you too should say no to the old self, to the old form of life. Don't say yes. If you're saying yes, recognize this, that is not Christ in you. That is the old self in you, saying yes to sin, because Christ would never do that, never. So here's the question, am I living like a man who died with Christ? Are you living like a man who died with Christ? Are you living like a woman who died with Christ? Or are you not? Because if you die with him, then sin died on a cross. And we have the capacity, the power, the enablement to say no. Say no to the flesh. I won't do that. No. Not today. I'm not going to do that. Mm-mm. So Paul is conveying this idea that we've passed from the grave. We have taken off the dead man's clothing. Because we know the story from Lazarus, and I'm bringing it to a closure. We know the story of Lazarus. Remember Lazarus died? He was dead for 4 days in Bethany. He was buried. Jesus went there on the fourth day, and he goes to the tomb, and he tells the man to remove the stone away from the tomb. So when the men do that, Jesus calls Lazarus out of the grave. And out comes Lazarus. And Lazarus says he's wearing the clothing of the dead. He's wearing dead man's clothing, grave clothes. His head is wrapped around in a cloth, and the Bible says he's bound in the hands and in the legs and the feet with clothing. He's wrapped up completely, dead man's clothing. And the first thing Jesus said is, "Loose him, let him go." That's exactly what Paul is conveying to us. You have been loose. You have been freed. Don't put on the dead man's clothes anymore. Take off, lay aside that clothing. It's for dead people, for people under the curse. You're no longer under the curse. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what Christ has given you to wear. Himself, his righteousness, his holiness, his goodness, his everything, his all. He hasn't refused anything. He's given you everything. So Paul says, put everything on that belongs to Christ, everything. But don't be walking around with dead man's clothes anymore. No, you resurrected with Christ. Then be dressed with Christ. Be different. And then when you go to Romans chapter 13, verse 12, it says, the night is almost gone and the day is near. Therefore, lay aside deeds of the darkness and put on the armor of light. That right there, that's a call to war. When he says, put on the armor of light, let's take up a defensive posture. Take up a defensive position. Be ready to fight the good fight of faith. The night, it's almost gone. We see the crack of light now. We're of the morning. We see it. Put on the armor of light. Pick up your arms, your weapons that Christ has given you, the weapons of your warfare, and prepare to defend yourself. Because you need to defend yourself against the old self. Because the old self, if you're not defending yourself, will run all over you. He or she will run roughshod all over you. But Paul says, take up the armor of light. Put it on. You've got to be dressed with Christ, or you're going to lose this fight. Be determined to do that. So remember, as I close it now, that our death in Christ 2,000 years ago on Calvary, our death with him right there on the cross, our death and our burial and our resurrection, that was true. That is a fact that we need to know. Now, we may not understand fully the supernatural transaction that took place. Because we don't know. When we talk about that and we think about that, well, how exactly did that happen? We don't fathom it. We just can't totally understand it. But we know this, that because God said it, it is true. 2,000 plus years ago, when Christ died, the Bible says, you, Christian man, Christian woman, you were there on the cross with them. Believe it. When he was buried, you were buried with him. When he arose, you arose with him. It's a supernatural transaction that we can't fully understand, but it's true. We believe it because the Bible says so. And if the Bible says so, we know that God says so because this is his word. So we believe it and we live like it. Knowing that it happened there, positionally, we have died with Christ. Our sins are forgiven. We are free indeed because Christ says, if you believe in him, you are free indeed. We are free indeed, and we stand firm in that freedom. And we can only stand firm in this freedom if we're in the new, not in the old, only in the new. So my encouragement is this, as we go through the days, tomorrow, the next day, be committed, be resolved, be determined to lay aside the old self and live for Christ 100%. Amen? Let us pray. Father, I just want to thank you and praise you, Lord, for the message. I pray that all of us, Father, would just take it to heart, that we will take all these words and just apply them diligently, O Lord. Help us to truly put